Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. This is the broadcast for January the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is Hour 2 at 2, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Welcome to the broadcast, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ted Cruz in the news. And the headline says, drain the swamp. Ted Cruz pushes term limits. You want to respond to this one, Kurt?
You know, for a long time, it seems like we've heard about this basically maybe ever since we've been doing this radio program and before probably, the idea of term limiting individuals. You know, there's been the fact that the president is term limited and, you know, basically he can't serve more than, 10 years, if I remember right, according to the Constitution. I don't always agree with Ted Cruz, but I've pretty much come to the point where I feel like, you look at the troubles in Congress, at least in my opinion, and almost every time it's one of these lifers that's basically behind it.
You're right. I get your frustration. I disagree with Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Well, you know, and so this is my reason for supporting him at this time, and that is that it seems like with so much money that's tied up in the, political world, the millions and millions of dollars that are dumped into, whether it's a Senate campaign or a House campaign or whatever, it's a game of really wealthy ones, and it seems like then the normal people get pushed out. And then if you tie that with this whole seniority thing, then you get,
there's no doubt they've got an insider trading right Ponzi scheme for sure.
Yeah,
I understand. And I think that's exactly what they want, is they want us to feel so frustrated. You know, throw the bums out. The idea appeals to Americans who want officials that are becoming less and less in touch with conservative government. But the idea is not new. Concerning term limits, believe it or not, which were considered by the founding fathers during the Constitutional Convention of 1787, Alexander Hamilton wrote in the Federalist Paper number 72, nothing appears more plausible at first sight, nor ill-founded on close inspection. The quick fix nature of term limits or term limitation is superficially appealing, not only because of the, quote, perceived speed in which it appears to remove an offending official, but because it does not require much thought, research, or analysis on the part of the voters. Throwing everybody out of office after a fixed number of terms, hey, basically gets rid of the task of deciding who's doing a good job and who is not. Anyway, there's a big article written about this. Scott Bradley speaks out about it boldly in Utah. And the Utah Constitution Party printed an article for the New American. The article's entitled, Term Limits, Temptation, Creating the Pretext for a Con-Con. The New American, it was written June 10th, 1996, reiterated in Utah as this continually continues up. Those who are attracted by the concept of term limits generally fail to understand that it's that the promoters seek not specific term limits, but general term limits, which would restrict the voter franchise and emasculate the power of the ballot. Right? In other words, you would get rid of the top performers and the altar of expediency. And, anyway, so they talk about the first proposal, and it goes into when they talked about it during the first 1787. It was rejected by the delegates, but instead, They provided for short terms of office. That's why the congressmen only have 2 years, Kurt, because that was their way to say, we don't want term limits because it violates the check and balance of the ballot box. You just rely on the, well, there's term limited, so I don't need to do anything anymore. But the power of the ballot box, the power of voting, the power of vetting candidates gets circumvented when you have term limits because people start to rely on the system to solve itself rather than their active check and balance, the people being involved, part of vetting the candidates, etc. And so they said, instead of term limits, let's have short terms of office. 2 years for the House of Representatives, 4 years for the presidency, and 6 years for the Senate. But remember, the Senate was supposed to be represented by the states, who then you would have elections in the states that would offset that longer term. James Madison opposed term limits at the Constitutional Convention, and he recorded in his notes, the words of a fellow delegate, Roger Sherman. Frequent elections are necessary to preserve the good behavior of rulers. They also tend to give, quote, permanency to the government by preserving that good behavior, because that good behavior ensures their reelection. It is difficult to challenge Sherman's logic. If a politician were, quote, not eligible to run for reelection because of term limits, then what incentive would he have to, quote, please the voters? The answer is he would have little incentive. In other words, you'd almost have lame ducks the second they get there, because they would be even more prone to fall to the praise of, quote, special interests in Washington. And so you look at the lame duck session of Congress, and what it really means is they would all be kind of lame ducks the second they get there. All right. It mattered little that people are opposed to things. They're for them. Or it matters little if people are for something, they oppose them. Because the Congress representatives who were rejected by the voters didn't have to worry about reelection anyway. That's in the lame duck scenario. In this case, it would be the system that's the issue. And so they said that the founding fathers recognized that frequent elections were the best way to keep politicians responsive. And they made the elections as frequent as reasonable for the purpose of, doing so. The government that's closest to the people, the House of Representatives, has the most frequent elections to make the point. The greatest restraint on any public official is the realization that he must face the voters for reelection and be judged on his performance in office. Because of the wisdom of the founders, America has benefited from the services of many great lawmakers whose long and fruitful careers would have been cut short with term limits in effect. Those lawmakers relate to people like John Quincy Adams, John C. Calhoun, Henry Clay, Sam Houston, James Madison, Daniel Webster, and the like. Few lawmakers have as much political clout as the Speaker of the House of the United States of America and the representative, yet Tom Foley was defeated in 1994 by a political novice. Anyway, they go on. But what they're basically saying is that people do change the guard when they're fed up, Kurt. A changing of the guard began with the election of 124 freshman members of Congress in 1992 without mandated term limits. It continued in 94 with a great power shift in Congress and throughout state houses in the land without term limits. In January 1995, 87 freshmen representatives and 11 freshman senators took their oaths of office, demonstrating the constitutional authorities of voters to limit their representatives. Now, listen to this. Anyway, I shouldn't even tell you this because they say it this writing, which was back in 96. Anyway, they say changes rot without mandated term limits. And it goes on with the whole section. The flaw of mandated term limits is demonstrated by comparing the Congresses elected or congressmen elected in these 2 years. The turnover in 92 simultaneously took place with the election of a new president. And that new Congress, sadly, they just did business as usual. They promoted social programs. They continued to concentrate power at the federal level. The subsequent voter response in 94 was a reaction to that continuation of the same old game. Term limits, whether specific voter imposed or imposed by law, never guarantees an improvement in government service. The only way that we'll have an improvement in government service is well-informed and thoughtful electorate. They can do that. Education is the key. For this reason, Americans sincerely concerned about poor representation in Washington should work to increase public understanding, not to decrease or limit the voter franchise. In other words, A, you can get a swamp monster after swamp monster as long as you make them lame ducks when they're in office and put them in by like clockwork so that people just basically say, hey, we solved the problem. There you have it. The entire success of a voting record campaign depends on people taking their check and balance responsibility seriously. Anyway, it's an interesting article, Kurt, and I just defer to the New American and I defer to Scott Bradley. He gave several speeches in the the Constitution Party of Utah reprinted this article in Modern Times to highlight the point. And, they say another result of mandated term limits would be increased dependence by congressmen on elected staffers and the entrenched beltway bureaucracy. In other words, hey, if they have elections, then the newcomers might have to learn the ropes as opposed to these entrenched staffs. Anyway, interesting idea. Let's talk about it more in seconds. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
All right, Ted Cruz wants to drain the swamp. Pushes term limits. Term limits temptation. Creating the pretext for a con. That's the New American, written in 1996, brought forward by the Utah Constitution Party. Scott Bradley speaks out boldly and says, don't go for it, folks. It'll be disaster. Because, again, it sounds great. It sounds like the expedient choice. It sounds like the only choice left. People get tempted into these only choice left plans when we don't apply the Constitution. Look, we can every 2 years we can get rid of the whole of Congress on the House side. Every 2 years we can get a third of the Senate gone. Every 6 years we could have a complete turnover. And the president could only serve for 4 years without facing re-election. That's pretty term limited. But the question is that term limits not good enough? Do we need greater term limits? And what the founding fathers kind of come up with is the idea that we need more frequent elections, and we need an informed, thoughtful electorate to demand change, to demand fidelity to the supreme law of the land. And if you move to term limits, you create lame duck folks all over the place, and you create an idea where Americans are thinking, hey, don't worry about it. That thug will be out soon anyway. Who cares? I mean, it's bad we elected him, but gee whiz, what do we do? Well, the term limits will solve it. Don't worry. And instead of relying on Americans getting involved as part of the check and balance, it simply lets Americans sideline their responsibility. And the founder said you have a republic if you can keep it. And so, you know, we can only keep it if we're informed and if we're involved. And that's the genius of America, is these incredible checks and balances that are put in place. And at first glance, we always want, when we have a problem, we always want to change the system. We always want to go back and go, oh, the system's the problem. And I don't think the system's the problem at all. I think we're the problem. So when the people aren't engaged in putting congressmen that have fidelity, and senators and presidents and that have fidelity to the supreme law of the land, what we want to do is change the law so that it can maybe fix itself. Well, what if the people were educated enough to put Scott Bradley in office? Do we want to keep him there? Or do we want him to be term limited and kicked out? What about a Rand Paul? You would say, well, Sam, there's not enough of those guys. And my response is, okay, whose fault's that? Is it they're term limited, or is it that we didn't elect them? And as far as I can tell, I look at it and say, you know what? An example of this is Mitt Romney just became the latest senator. How involved were the people in that process? The media was plenty involved. Big money was plenty involved. The delegates did a great job, and they said, we don't want Romney. Then the people went to sleep. The media took over. The money rolled in, and voila, you got a senator. Carpetbagger from wherever, right? And so until we, the people, get involved, I'm not so sure that it's fixable, no matter what we do. All right, any thing to add to this, Kurt?
You know, as I listened, I was reminded, about those points. And, the key thing to remember, after all, it looks like to me, is our system was set up for a moral and righteous people, religious people. And without that, pretty much, we're up the creek without a paddle,
Yeah, you're right. Do you think it'll be used as a pretext for a con, Kurt? Because
it could be. But, the thing that I was amazed to find out from this article is that I couldn't remember this, but apparently that it was one of President Trump's things he said he would work on in the first 100 days, and I didn't remember him working.
Well, his term limit will be in 2020, Kurt, unless the people demand he stays there.
Good point.
And 100% of the Congress will have that. We can get rid of the president and the Congress, the House, all in 2020, every bit of them, all, 435 plus the president, all 436 of them, right?
Yep. Good point.
In 2020, less than 2 years away. Anyway, I just find it fascinating, and I find it fascinating to learn. I'm not here to attack Ted Cruz. I understand what he's trying to advocate for. Everybody's frustrated. I get it. And it's very tempting to just, with your frustration, say, we got to do something, and anything's better than what we've got. But I submit that what we need to do is look to the supreme law of the land and obey it. And you can't have great representation unless the people are thoughtful and are intentional about who they elect. And I think that's the piece that's been missing. The people are simply out of the game. I mean, I talk to people and they don't even know who was running against Mitt Romney, Kurt. Right? And they don't even know who was running against him. And I look at
well,
that and I
that
just say...
Well, and that goes to the whole idea that we've always taught, as best we could, is he who owns the media makes the rules. And, the insider boys anointed him from the beginning. Orrin Hatch anointed him. He was basically given to us kind of in the way that President Trump was given us and Hillary. And at least in that case, we had, in my opinion, at least a little better choice there, much better than Hillary. And wouldn't it have been nice if the people could have known about, you know, the real good Kennedy from Utah.
Amen. And my last question on this very topic is, why every time when we have a problem that literally kind of gets just to, it feels like crisis levels, why do we always attack the system? So what we want to say is, hey, the system's failed us. We got to put term limits in place. Never mind that there's already term limits. 2 years for a congressman, 4 years for a president, 6 years for a senator. Why do we always want to change the system? You know, they're saying, let's get rid of the Electoral College. Let's get rid of the senators. We don't need them. Let's get rid of this. Let's get that. Why do we always look to attack the system? Why don't we go back and say, hey, man, what do we got to do to make this thing work? And I agree there's big money in it and it's a problem, but I don't really want more regulation to stop the money. Necessarily. I do want the checks and balances because I believe that's the strongest way to prevent these problems. And look, the state legislatures could have watched the senators like a hawk for 6 years while they're there. That's the reason that they had the longest term. The goal was to create a stable government. I mean, if you had elections every 6 months, for instance, and everybody turned, what if you had 6 month terms and everybody had term limits at 6 months? You'd have turnover like crazy in the government, but there'd be no stability there. Part of the brilliance of the founders was to create this, the closest to the people could switch often. The senators would be representative by the states. The states would keep track of the senators properly. That would be the longevity and stability in Washington. The people then would elect the representatives that elected the senators that would go to Washington. And so we had a control over them. Hey, if you keep a bad guy there too long, you're out too. There's all, every time you study the brilliance of the founding fathers, you see these checks and balances that are just brilliant, just brilliant. And every time we tend to have problems, it's because we're either not engaged properly, we're not involved, and or we've changed one of the checks and balances that just make it out of whack. So when you change the senators to be elected by the people, you say, well, what's the difference in the senators and the House then? Nothing except the senators have more clout and stay longer. Okay, well, see, but you don't understand. The senators were intended to be representatives of the states. Now the states don't even have a seat at the table, and they become political subdivisions of the Fed. And you kind of say, why? Well, that's why. You've taken away their representation. Okay, and then it goes on. Hey, my congressman only has a 2-year term. He's already term limited, unless I put him back there. Well, I know, Sam, but big money puts him there, and you don't have a say in the matter anymore. You're telling me that if the people overwhelmingly vote for something, it doesn't happen? Well, then how did we get rid of Bob Bennett? Didn't we put Mike Lee in Bob Bennett's place, Kurt?
Yes, we did.
How did that happen? Did that happen because Bob Bennett was term limited? Or did it happen because the people finally got sick of it and said, we're going to demand different? So anyway, I don't want to go on about this forever, but what I do want to say is this. We need to be very careful not to attack the system, the brilliance of the founding fathers and the supreme law of the land. What we need to do is attack what's not working. And what's not working when it comes to great representation is we're not demanding real representatives. There's not enough of us involved in the game. We're expecting somebody else to do it for us somehow or something. But it's never going to work when you violate the check and balance and the states don't have representation at the table because the senators are now popular, more of a democracy. And you're never going to have progress when the people don't even know who is voting against Romney or running against Romney. You're not going to have a stable system when the people are just not engaged or involved. It's not possible. And any change you make will not improve the situation. What you'll do is you'll just create more and more and more and more problems. And then the temptation will be, well, we've got to have a con. This poor thing's broken. We've got to do this. The thing's broken. We might as well get rid of the Electoral College because the popular vote's all that matters. The people need more power. Let's give the people more power. And every time under this idea of expedience, under this idea of the system's broken, do we continue to break it further? My prayer is that we can support the supreme law of the land and apply the pure principles that made America great in the first place. All right, hang tight. Sam and Kurt in seconds. You got a foreign leader doing a pretty good job in, what, Brazil, Kurt? We'll tell you about it. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Listen to the wind blow.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Live and talking about liberty, baby. That's us, Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate if you have the heart to help. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media as we tell the tale of liberty. I guess Brazil's new president's on fire, isn't he, Kurt?
Well, he seems to He's be shaking and rolling, it up buddy. Down there, Sam. Bolsonaro, I think, is his name. Besides telling the people that they ought to be able to have a gun, and defend themselves. Sam, he's even suggesting that God needs to be more into the whole picture. And, boy, that ought to bring out the opposition for him, huh?
I think he's right as rain.
Yeah. Yeah, he says Brazil will return to being a country free of the chains of ideology. My electoral campaign listened to the call of the streets and forged a commitment to place Brazil first and God above all. Oh, boy. I'm telling you right now,
good for him, and I wish our president. Well, our president, I got to give President Trump credit. President Trump has done more about that. Even more than Reagan, talking about God and the importance of God. Donald has done a very good job at that. And you would say, well, Sam, he's not even Christian. He's a mock Christian. You know what? I'm not here to judge his heart. I'm just telling you that he's becoming more Christian the older he gets, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful when any leader of any government refers to God. And I can debate if they're genuine or not, but I won't. What I'll say is I'm grateful for their references to God. I'm grateful for their pointing to God. And I pray that it's as genuine in their hearts as it is in their rhetoric. And if their hearts and their speech and their efforts and their actions are all in congruent reality with one another, what a blessed day it would be. God is above all. And he vows to fight gender ideology. What does that mean, Kurt?
You know, Sam, I'm not exactly sure, but
I think
what he's saying is that, hey, we value the family. And in that case, he's talking about a man and a woman, Sam.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, and so he's calling down the wrath of the evil ones against him for this kind of stuff, you know. But we're there to defend him all we can, right?
Yeah, I commend him. I think he's right. And when he says we want to fight this gender ideology, what he's talking about is the attacks on gender. Male and female created he them, says God, Kurt. And this president of Brazil is saying that's how it is. God's above all. He defines it. There's a male and female. That's what he said. And I'm not going to go along with this gender ideology, or this gender remaking under man's idea. We're not doing that. And so I commend him, and I think he's right. I know they'd say I'm just a hater, but I believe genders are as God set them to be. And that doesn't mean I hate anybody that's mixed up. It just means I believe that God's not mixed up and these people are. By the way, there's a transgender billionaire in the United States kind of speaking out too, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, and I'd never heard of this one. So maybe you've heard of this one, but apparently this is one that puts the money, I was going to say her money, but I don't know what to say here, Sam, because anyway, this individual's name is Jennifer, P-R-I-T-Z-K-E-R.
Pritzker.
Okay, well, anyway, that'd be a good guess. And they call this transgender individual a billionaire member of the wealthy Pritzker family. Have you ever heard of the Pritzker family?
No, Kurt.
I just have never even heard of
them. But I don't run in big circles of Republican donors either.
Yeah. And apparently, you know, when you read this piece from the Breitbart Boys, you find out that, let's see. Anyway, this transgender person.
Look, it's a dude usually that goes by Jennifer, okay? Dude looks like a lady here.
Okay.
And so this dude, this guy, says, I ain't going to fund you Republicans. I've funded plenty of you in the past. So they get their money from this transgender dude. And you wonder why they're transgender confused, right? Okay. And then this guy, I mean, this girl, this, you know, this dude named Jennifer, he literally says, I'm not going to fund you guys anymore if you continue to battle and promote my destruction. What he means by my destruction is he means that I don't like you attacking me and standing with God on the gender issue. And you're not going to do it if you're going to get my money.
Yeah, he said, I have hoped the Republican, the guy named Jennifer, says, I have hoped the Republican Party would reform from within and end its assault on the LGBTQ community. Yet the party continues to champion policies that marginalize me out of existence, define me as an eccentric character, and persecute me for using the public restrooms that correspond to my gender identity. He says, as a result, the GOP's positions have forced me to refocus my attention away from their agendas I support. Instead, I find myself focusing on issues to protect myself and others like me. Every dollar spent defending transgender rights is $1 less I can contribute toward other party initiatives. I guess he's a leading donor to the various advocacy groups. You know, they talk about these different ones, you know, but I just found it interesting that, number one, I'd never heard of
this. So let me talk to this billionaire dude for a second. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here's my response if I'm a politician. You can fund what you want. I support the Republican platform. I support the principles of God, family, and country. God said he made them. He's the author, by the way. He's the creator. God said he made them male and female, and I'm not here to go against God on that point. So you fund what you want, but I'll stand firm in our traditions, in our way of life, in my defense of God, family, and country. And I wish that these politicians would do that and have guts. But what they'll do is they'll cave on this, Kurt. They'll run around and call him Jennifer, and they'll run around and take his money, and then his influence will have effect on how they behave and vote. And it's a sad tale to tell, but Americans can say we're not going to have this guy funding our politicians, and we're not going to have our politicians with this guy. So everywhere in the country, Americans should find out if their congressman or their senator takes money from this dude named Jennifer, all right, this transgender billionaire. And I got to just say, hey, do you receive money from Jennifer Pritzker? And if they say no, then there's ways we can find out if they do or not. And if they lie, we can expose them. If they tell the truth, then we can say, look, we're not going to fund a person. We're not going to back a person for election that receives this kind of funding from this transgender. It will affect your voting on these critical issues. We're not doing it. But see, Americans would have to get involved for that to happen, Kurt. Jennifer's involved, I'm telling you that right now, with big bucks.
Yeah, and in part of the story, you can click on this little section where it says Pritzker donates heavily, and the donates heavily is highlighted in blue. And if you aim at it, you can click on it. It takes you to a what's called opensecrets.org page, and it lists money to parties, money to super PAC outside group, money to candidates, and it's all this guy named Jennifer, you know, their contribution.
Yeah, but see, this American's more involved than most Americans, right, Kurt? That's the problem.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like in one case, they put $22,300.
Yeah,
$22,300 to the National Republican Congressional Committee. You know, and what happens is they buy influence, and then, you know, when it comes time, you know, here's another one, $33,900 to the National Republican Senatorial Committee. But, you know, I wish that there was less of this kind of money in politics, but the bottom line, like you said before, is what you're going to get the government to limit that. If you do, then what do you do? You see how the rich people get around.
That's right.
The rules that we've
well, and the proof of the pudding is that you can't donate us very much individually, but all they got to do is create a PAC, and then
That's
they
right.
say, "Well, wait,
That's
we got to
exactly
document
right.
what your PAC does," and then they go, "Great, we'll bundle."
Yeah.
And then
That's
you go, well, what's a bundling? Well, we don't know, but we just know that we can't track bundling. What?
I mean, there's several of these. You look down this list, and there's several of these big $22,300. So that must be some kind of limit when it comes to a committee or something like that.
Yeah, so the bottom line is I'll just donate to all of them then.
Yeah. And they'll
right.
buy their influence.
There's
know.
A first ever. I guess it's a candidate joins New Right, but I'm going to have Kurt explain to me what kind of a candidate is this? We'll tell you. It's kind of a strange deal in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get Kosher Certified. which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So this is kind of a strange candidate. It's not a United States candidate, though, is it, Kurt?
No, this piece comes to us from Breitbart, and the headline reads, basically, first ever deaf Knesset candidate joins new right.
Now, I know Kurt's smart, and I'm not, but Knesset is the body in Israel that's like their legislative body. I had no idea that. I try to keep track of our own legislative body and struggle doing that, you know. But anyway, it's Israel's legislative body, right, Kurt? This Knesset is, and I guess there's
right.
a deaf person that's going to become a candidate or become a...
Well, that's already been voted in.
Oh, so and, it is not just a candidate. It's the candidate that's now elected.
Yeah, and this lady, you know, and that's nice. It's not a transgender individual or anything. She's actually a woman, you know. And she's 30 years old, co-founder of what they call the Israeli Center for Deaf Studies. She studied law and taught sign language. She served as a project officer. Anyway, she's got a lot of really cool things behind her. But, you know, she says about this, about her opportunity to serve. She says, I'm happy and excited to announce that I joined the new right. I will continue to act with all my might, as I have in the past, to help people with disabilities in Israel and to be their representative in the Knesset, with a goal to turn Israel into a more accessible, egalitarian, and accepting society. You know, my main reason for bringing it up is to show that here's an individual who, you know, with her disability of not being able to hear, some would say, well, you know, you're just going to have to write her off and make her so that, you know, she can't participate. But, you know, she goes forward strong and hoping to make a difference. And, you know, I thought it was interesting.
Amen. She sounds intelligent to me.
And I think there are some in our listening audience that don't know that, you know, like in your case, Sam, you've been blind since you were born.
Yeah, but they shouldn't know that, or they'll quit listening.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
I believe that it's useful for people to understand that the fact is, I don't care what your, you know, disability, if you're a redneck like me from the country and, you know, you've hardly ever been to the big city and yet you, you know, you have something to offer, you know, whatever your disability is, you know, do your best.
That's right. Kurt's not really redneck, you know, he wears a hat when he sells honey, folks, just so you know.
I don't get quite as rednecked, you know.
All right. Anyway, interesting candidate doing a great job there, and I'm glad. And this is kind of why, if people have a disability, whether you can't read or whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you're deaf, whether you're blind, you know, hey, these people can contribute to society in many meaningful ways, and good on them for doing the best they can. All right. I guess a Hollywood movie star is kind of disabled too, Kurt. By choice.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember.
Headline says Hollywood movie star refuses kissing scenes, Kurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, they'll consider you kind
really
of
cool story.
Morally disabled in their world, won't they, Kurt?
Well,
like,
yeah,
you can't
or
kick
in other words,
if you won't do kissing scenes.
Yeah. I mean, this is a WorldNet Daily piece. And
great
the guy's
news
name,
piece, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't know about this. I mean, I've seen the guy's picture in the story, and I thought, well, I've seen him in things, but I didn't know who he was. They say his name is Neil McDonough, M-C-D-O-N-O-U-G-H, and the WorldNet Daily piece says, he admits that putting God and family first has been hard on his career in Hollywood. And he's known, you know, and they tell you some of the things he's been in, like Band of Brothers, Flags of Our Fathers, villainous parts in Red 2, Desperate Housewives, and Justified. But the thing that is different about him, Sam, is he's refused to do love scenes. And those cost him a job on the primetime soap opera called Scoundrels back in 2010.
He said, "I won't kiss when you're not a scoundrel, Kurt."
Yeah. He said, "I won't kiss any other woman because these lips are meant for one woman."
I commend him. It's phenomenal news. So we got good news story after good news story. You got this deaf candidate gets elected, doing a great job even with her disability. You got a guy that's a Hollywood movie star, and he says, hey, my lips are for one woman, and we need more of that. I'll tell you that right now.
And by the way, he and his wife, Ruvi, R-U-V-E, with an accent over the E, have five children. They range in age from 4 to 13.
Well, that's phenomenal.
You know, he believes, here's another terrible part about him, Sam. He totally believes the U.S. is the greatest country ever.
He must be listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, Kurt.
He said, my dad came over from Ireland and walked straight into the Army office and said, make me an American. And they shipped him overseas for 5 years. He said, that's deeply in my blood. So when I get to play guys like I did in Band of Brothers or Flags of Our Fathers who bleed red, white, and blue, it's great for me. He said it was love at first sight when he met Ruvi, and after nearly 20 years, they've had, he says, quote, one heck of an awesome life to have her as my partner in everything, end quote. He said, I'm just the most blessed guy I know. That's why I go to church every day and say thank you to God for everything he's given me. By the way, he's a Catholic. And most importantly, thank you for giving me Ruvi, because without her, I most certainly would not be talking with you right now.
Well, I commend him for his integrity, ladies and gentlemen, and we need more of that. We need to spread the word and create copycats. We got to just do good. It's just phenomenal. But there's so many good news stories, folks. I got to move on to get a lot of these in. They're just tremendous. Clemson coach in the news, Kurt. As you know, they won, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I certainly didn't know this about the Clemson guy, which makes sense because, you know, you'd think that they could have highlighted this, but the headline
Well, they absolutely could, and they should. The problem is they won't, Kurt. They don't believe in it. They don't want any part of it, but we do.
The guy's name is Dabo Swinney, and it says he praises God after winning national championship. After they cruised, Clemson cruised to a 44-16 win over Alabama, they became the first 15-0 team in college football since 1897. That's a little ways back. And the Clemson Tigers coach was obviously thrilled during his post-game interview. When the ESPN cameras caught up with him, he was asked about describing the joy of the moment. Well, that's been my word all year, and I've tried to be intentional with that. And for me personally, joy comes from focusing on Jesus other than yourself.
Now, the headline is written in WorldNet Daily or WND.com by Joe Kovacs. Clemson coach glorifies Jesus upon winning national title. It's just tremendous. And we're seeing more and more and more sports figures realizing the importance of God in their lives, Kurt. And that's the untold story. Think how many we've highlighted even in the last couple of years, Kurt. And it's getting more and more, and for good reason. It's exciting to see. But the mainstream press just simply leaves that narrative out of the discussion, don't they?
Well, Sam, it's the G word, and you know how careful they are.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Putting that out, you know.
It's great to glorify God.
It is great, yeah, I know. And yet the only time they'll really use the word is, typically in a negative way when they're swearing and taking the Lord's name.
All right, there's a cancer study in the news. It's good news, too, Kurt. Now, not good news because there's cancer at all. Right.
No. But is this the one where you got less cancer or we did the salt?
Yeah, it said U.S. cancer death rates hits 25-year low.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool, man.
somebody, I mean, I hadn't heard much about this, you know. I mean, I guess it's because everybody's getting their proper vaccines. Huh?
Yeah, but they want you to put a ton of money in cancer research here. They don't want you to go, cancer's lower.
Right.
But I think it's great news. It's a study, and I think it's good news, Kurt. I like to see cancer go down.
Yeah, and, you know, what do you think is the reason for the decline, Sam? You got any ideas?
I would say that probably more nutrition.
Huh.
I'd say probably more exercise. People are starting to become a little more health conscious, and I think it's a good thing.
You know, what I wonder about is, I mean, when I was growing up, it was a rarity, if ever, to see anybody with a bottle of water. I don't remember that, you know, growing up at all. And yet, on the other hand, man, you were cool. Like, remember, you were cool if you smoked or if you, you know, had a bottle of, I mean, whatever drink, you know, Coke or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
And yet now, you're almost cool drinking a bottle of water and not smoking.
Hey, it's a good start. We got to keep it up. That's for sure. The answers are simple. Now, I know they'll just say you're not an expert.
Yeah,
but, you know, all I'm telling you is I see that people are doing a little bit better. Now, I know it's not enough. I get it. But I am saying it's a start. And I am saying the change is easy to see. And, hey, it's good news. Two more quick stories before the end of the hour. Factory job openings surge in November to the highest level since 2001, Kurt.
Yeah, now this is a real problem, Sam. And see, this is one thing.
Oh, it's phenomenal news. What are you talking about?
But I mean, if President Trump hadn't, you know, lowered the taxes and brought the jobs back and stuff, we wouldn't have all those people trying to get into America and get those jobs, you know, here, right? And I mean, wouldn't have that border problem that we got, you know, as much, you know.
I'm just not very smart. I like it.
Yeah, I know. The fact is, isn't it a cool story? And just because we have an attractive economy doesn't mean, you know, we can't fix some other problem, you know. We got to just fix the problem of illegal immigration so that, you know, we can continue to have a good economy.
Yeah, and the mainstream press likes to say they're not taking your job. They're jobs you don't want anyway.
Yeah.
And my response is I'm glad they tell me what jobs I want.
Yeah, good
just
point.
Like they tell me everything else I don't
supply
believe.
Supply and demand.
Hear. But anyway, I just think factory job openings surge. That is good, good news, ladies and gentlemen. It's very good news.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't ever been taught this little principle, I remember when I think I might have first learned it from a guy named Chuck Harder, you know, many, many years ago, you know, from a program called For the People. But he explained how if you in your little town spend your money with a particular store and then that store spends its money in the next door and next door and next door, that money's kind of magnified in your area. And it's a beautiful thing to see it magnifying.
Yeah,
America,
it prospers, that's right? For sure. You know, it spends multiple times, and what a blessing that is. Now, folks that are suffering from the government shutdown, they're not getting a paycheck, Kurt. They're going to work for different companies in the private sector now. Did you see this?
Well, yeah. It was, what, Uber and Lyft? Or
yes, sir.
I mean, you got some other ones, I suppose. You know, there, some of them are having
garage
sales.
Just two examples. Right?
Yeah. But the bottom line is, you know, if you're off work and you don't have a job, you know, right now, and you're a federal employee, you know, provide some useful stuff to the economy.
Yeah, they're breaking the taxi cartels, aren't they, Kurt?
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
You gotta dig it. I'm just telling you now, the last point, a guy emailed me and said, Sam, you going to the pro-life march rally in D.C. coming up? I wish I was, folks, but I don't have the money to go.
We'll be there in spirit.
Yeah, we'll try to go. If we can get the cash, we'd be glad to go and cover it live for you folks, but it's all a cash reality check for us. We're doing the best we can with limited resources, that's for sure. LibertyRoundtable.com is our website. Donate today, would you please? We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and we will restore a grand old republic. Will you get involved? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.